Now we're turning in the Word of God tonight, please, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 22, and as you're finding your place, could I also thank those that took part, especially the children and young people, because it really blessed my heart hearing those pieces and being reminded of those five solas. But we're going to look at one verse this evening, words that will be familiar to you, I'm sure. Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse 6. We read these words. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. With our Bibles open before God, let us just seek the Lord's face in a brief word of prayer. Let us all pray. Eternal God and loving Heavenly Father, we come unto Thee tonight with thankful hearts for all that Thou hast done. And Father, we come unto Thee and we thank Thee for all of the children and all of the young people. We thank Thee for the education that they receive every day of the week. And we thank Thee that they are brought up in an atmosphere where the Lord is magnified and where the Scriptures are preached. And Father, we pray that Thou be with them. Have Thy hand upon the school. Guard it from evil. And Father, I pray that it may long continue. But Lord, we ask as we come about Thy word now that Thou give us help, give us guidance. Lord, we pray that Thou chase away any excuses and any hindrances that would cause us to think on other things other than Thy word. And we pray that Thou give me power, give me heavenly unction. Yeah. And Father, I pray that Thou be one of our midst tonight. But Father, give us help now. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Now on this day, the 10th of November, in the year 1483, a man was born. A man was born whom God would use to not only change his little town, but change the course of history as he knew it. His name was Martin Luther. He was born on this day in the year 1483, and he was born into a peasant family, a very poor family in Saxony. The next day, the 11th of November, he was baptized into the Roman Catholic Church, and Martin Luther was taught to pray to saints, honor the Church of Rome, obey its priests, and over time he became a devout worshipper of the Virgin Mary. Now you may ask this evening, well, why would I begin by raising this issue of the birth and upbringing of Martin Luther? Well, the answer is very simple. The answer is very plain, because yes, we quite rightly celebrate that on the 31st of October 1517 in that little university town of Wittenberg, Germany, God used this lowly monk to do great things and to spark what is the greatest revival really the world has ever seen since Pentecost, the Protestant Reformation. However, the point I'd like to bring to your attention this evening is this, that Martin Luther did not have the privilege that most in this church have tonight. Martin Luther was raised as a child in the darkness of popery. He didn't have the privilege of growing up in a home where the Scriptures were taught. He didn't have the privilege of going along to a school where the Word of God was taught and where Christ was exalted. Now Martin Luther, yes, he was converted to Christ as an adult through the words of Romans 1 and the verse 17, "The just shall live by faith." And yes, when he nailed those 95 theses or those 95 arguments to the church door at Wittenberg, he could have never foreseen the tremendous repercussions that would follow. Little did he know that as he thundered the nail into that church door, that it wouldn't only be the church door that he would shake, but he would shake the entire world as he knew it. And no longer would church councils and courts and popes and priests formulate church doctrine, but now Scripture once again would formulate church doctrine. The Bible would become the sole authority and rule and practice of the church. The Bible alone would once again become the religion of Protestants. But my point is this once again, that great Protestant reformer who was born on this day, in 1483, did not have the privilege we have tonight. He didn't have that privilege. And we are not to take for granted the freedoms and the blessings that the Lord has given to us. And young people, let me say this.
You ought to thank God every single day of your life for the blessing that is yours. To be brought up in such a school where teachers are saved and love the Saviour and obey the Scriptures. Martin Luther didn't have such a blessing. But you do. And tonight I'd like to spend a few moments just really fulfilling two objectives. By the time we're finished, it's my prayer that the teachers would be encouraged to keep going in this great work. And that the children may, and the young people will be able to know that it is their duty to cultivate a thankful spirit for what is theirs in receiving such a grounding in the truth. So we're looking at this text, Proverbs chapter 22 and the verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. And I'd like to entitle this brief message, The Importance of a Godly Education. The importance of a godly education. And I'd like to bring 3 points to your attention. The first is this, the teaching of the child. Then the second, the truth for the child. And thirdly, the tenacity in the child. So firstly, look with me please at the teaching of the child. Look at our verse, the verse 6. 4 words, train up a child. Train up a child. Now the pulpit commentary gives these thoughts for our considerations. It says these words, the verb translated train means to put something in the mouth, to give to be tasted, as nurses give to infants food. Thence it comes to signify to give elementary instruction. Matthew Henry then had this to say on these words, here is a great duty enjoined, particularly to those that are the parents and instructors of children. In order to the propagating of wisdom, that it may not die with them, but train up children in that age of vanity to keep them from the sins and snares of it. In that learning age, to prepare them for what they're designed for, catechize them, initiate them, keep them under discipline, train them as soldiers who are taught to handle their arms, keep rank, and observe the word of command. Now as we look at this verse, Proverbs 22 and the verse 6, let me make something clear tonight. This is not a suggestion. This is a command, a clear command of Scripture to all those that have responsibility for children, both parents and teachers. Yeah. Train up a child. You ask, why? Well, what is the point? Well, it's very simple. You know, friend, a child will always learn. A child will always gain knowledge when growing up. However, what is being spoken about here is the type of learning they receive and the type of education they receive. Because a child will always learn. And when we go out into this world and we look at this world and we see the sin and the evil and the immorality that abounds all around us, yes, friend, there is much that can be learned from the world, but not much of it is worth learning. That's the truth of it, friend. And the devil loves to try and fill the minds, especially of the young, with ungodly thoughts and ungodly knowledge. And from the earliest of ages he works, putting desires into the hearts of young people that will turn them away from God and turn them away from Scripture and turn them away from truth. And it's a wonderful thing, a wonderful privilege to be shielded from the attacks of the devil when going through education. Now, teachers, I'd like to remind you of this. It's a solemn responsibility to train and to instruct those in your care. Psalm 127 and the verse 3, we're told, children are an heritage of the Lord. Children are precious to the Lord. And as we go through the Scriptures, we see many examples of godly characters that the Lord used mightily. And they were used mightily because of their upbringing. When we think of Moses, he was born in Egypt at the time the Pharaoh was killing and drowning all of the Hebrew children, and his mother put him in a basket in the Nile, and eventually he was found by Pharaoh's daughter, if you remember. And then Moses' own mother, by the providence of God, was brought in to instruct him and nurse him. And it was from the influence of her upon his life that Moses then had a burden for his people and a burden to do the Lord's work, and became that man that God used to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. And it all started, why? Because of a godly upbringing he received from his mother, even in Pharaoh's palace. Think of Samuel. He was a child that was dedicated to the Lord right from his very birth. His mother gave him over to the service of the Lord, and he was raised in the godliest of surroundings. And as a result, the Lord saved him and made him a prophet in the land. Think of another, the little maid in the story of Naaman and the leper. Now, we don't know an awful lot about her. We're not told an awful lot about her. But we know at least three things. One, she was young. Two, she was a slave. But a third is this. One more thing is certain. She had to have been raised in a godly environment. And you ask why? Well, because as soon as she discovered that Naaman was a leper, as soon as the news came, what was her advice to him? Go to the prophet's house, Naaman. Go to the man of God. She was a God-fearing girl. And she was raised, somebody had given her instruction in that. Somebody, even at that early age, had told her the things of God. You know, friends, there are many more examples I could go on. We read of Daniel, he was taken into captivity when a young man still. Great and mighty man of God. Someone must have raised him in the fear and admonition of the Lord. David was another, King Josiah, the boy king. Did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And of course, Timothy. Timothy, he was raised up in the gospel by who? By his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And all of these characters, they have one thing in common. They were used of God, yes, but they were trained as children in the way in which they should go. And you know, friend, when they became old, they didn't depart from it. You know, the scripture doesn't lie. The training of children is an amazing privilege, but at the same time, it is a solemn responsibility. It isn't something to be taken lightly. Train up a child, our verse says. And you may ask, well, how are we to train children? Well, there's people in this building that could give a far more excellent answer than I could, but I know the simple principles of it all. And we are to use the Word of God. The Scriptures are to be used as the primary instruction of children. Turn over to Psalm 119 with me, please. Psalm 119. And it's wonderful if you read through this psalm. All of the references, literally hundreds of references to the Word of God and how vitally important it is for both children and adults to be raised to love it. But Psalm 119 and the verse 9. Look there with me, please. And we'll read the whole of this section. Because look, in every single verse in this section, there's reference to the Word of God. Psalm 119 and the verse 9 through to 16. We read, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. See all these references to the word of God. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. As much as in all riches. I meditate in thy precepts. And have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You see all of the references here. But then continue on down. Just one more verse. The verse 105. And we see why the scriptures are so vitally important. In the verses 105 and 106 we're told, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Now that indicates, friend, a dark world, doesn't it? But thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. Now friend, when we look at the Psalm 119, it does literally have hundreds and hundreds of references to the Word of God. And it reminds us that it is the Word of God that is to be our sole rule and guide. And therefore it is to be the primary source of education and the training of children. But then, let me say this, alongside the scriptures, there's another principle to be adhered to. It's not always a popular principle, and I wasn't actually going to mention it until I realized that this principle was once again being attacked by those in authority. But parents, another principle that goes along with teaching God's word is this: discipline. Discipline. Now, I'm sure many of you will be aware that the Scottish government, even as we speak, are trying to make smacking illegal. Now, friend, it's not always popular when you're a child to be smacked. I know that. I was brought up in a home where that was the case, and I thank God for it. But they come to us and they say, that's child abuse. Child abuse. Well, what does the scripture say? Turn over to Proverbs 13 and verse 24. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. You know, the scriptures have a different view here, because the scriptures tell us that the real child abuse is when you refuse to discipline a child for wrongdoing. Proverbs 13 and verse 24. It says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Now, as I say, I was raised in a home where my parents smacked me. Now, I didn't always enjoy it, but I thank God for it. I didn't turn out too bad. Well, maybe you have a different view, I don't know. But young people listening tonight, let me say this. If you are privileged to live in a home like that, then you may not like it at the time, but thank God for it. Amen. Thank God for it, because you have parents that love you enough and care for you enough that are willing to raise you in the ways of the Lord. But as our verse says, train up a child. The teaching of children is vital in order to keep them in the ways of godliness. But I'd like you to notice a second point in this verse, Proverbs 22 verse 6. The truth for the child. The truth for the child. Look at the verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. In the way he should go. Now, the very fact that a child needs to be trained in a particular way and trained to go in a particular direction naturally shows us that it is our very nature. It's in a child's nature. It's in an adult's nature. It's in all of our natures to run in the opposite direction to the things of God. It is our very nature to run in the way of the world. Now, this verse shows us that from the earliest of ages, children have no inclination towards God. None of us do, friend. We have no inclination towards God from our very birth. We are completely and utterly and totally depraved in every sense. But you know what the wonderful thing is tonight, friend? There is truth for the child. You know, there is a truth that every child ought to be raised in. The truth of the gospel. The truth that we are all sinners. Every single one of us, old and young alike, every single one of us is a sinner. Romans 3 verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. Every single one of us is guilty, friend. Every single one of us in this meeting tonight are lawbreakers. And we have transgressed God's commandments. And we have offended a holy God. And you know, friend, the clear punishment for our sin is death. Death in hell. Romans 6 verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. Now that's serious, friend. That's solemn. Not just physical death, but eternal death in hell and damnation forevermore. That's not something to be light-hearted about. It's not something to be joking about. We've sinned against our God. We have done wickedly what we deserve, what we have rightfully earned for ourselves. What our wages demand is death. Death in the fires of hell, but thank God. Romans 6 verse 23 doesn't end there, friend. We continue on. For the wages of sin is death, but. And hallelujah for that word. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know tonight that there is hope for the sinner? Isn't it wonderful to know that there is a way of escape? Isn't it wonderful to know that there is a way of salvation in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how old or how young you may be? And isn't it amazing to know that when we think how we deserve nothing, we deserve nothing from the hand of God. We have rejected God. We've disobeyed God time and time and time again. And yet, Jesus Christ, God's Son, died to save us. Yeah. Isn't that incredible, friend? That He shed His blood on Mount Calvary 2,000 years ago for sinners in Kilskerry tonight. Doesn't that humble us? So, sinner, I say this respectfully, but when are you going to stop playing around with God? And when are you going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance? When are you going to repent and believe the gospel? You can be saved tonight. You can be saved for all eternity. But ultimately, this is the truth that all children need to be grounded in. This is the truth that they need to hear. That they're sinners. Sinners in need of a Saviour. But then for those young people tonight that are Christians in this gathering. And you say, well, what advice, preacher, do you have for me? Well, turn over to Psalm 37. In the Psalm 37, we see some wonderful principles for those that are saved. But 9 steps to Christian godliness. I won't dwell on them for long. It could be a sermon in itself. But 9 steps to Christian godliness we see here in Psalm 37. Look in the verse 1. We see our first step. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know, friend, there are evildoers in this world. But don't flinch. Don't fret. Keep standing for God. Resist the devil. Keep going. Then look at the verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So no matter what life throws at you, whatever trials or tribulations that get in your way, just keep trusting the Savior, friend. Not always easy, but keep trusting the Savior and do good. Look at the verse 4, the third step here. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself. You know, Christian, we're to be happy. We're to wear a smile on our faces. We're to delight in the Lord. Amen. Let me ask you this. Have you caught a glimpse yet of the loveliness of Christ? Do you realize who He is? Do you realize truly, even the Christian, what He's done for you? You know, the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, they'd lost sight of all of that. Yeah. You know, it says of them, the Savior has words of solemn words to them. And He says, you've lost your first love. Yeah. Lost your first love. Friend, let me tell you this. We are to delight in the Lord. Now, you can go down to any main street up and down our town, and even on a Friday night, right now, you'll see plenty of people delighting. They'll be delighting in the drink and the drugs and the immoral living. And you know, friend, in reality, they'll be dancing, delighting on their way to hell. But then when you come into the house of God and you see people that are saved, they're blood washed, hallelujah, they're saved from damnation, they're on the way to glory, they're one day going to see the face of Christ. And you know, at times they're the most miserable looking folk you've ever seen. But friend, we're to delight in the Lord. Yeah. We're to be happy in the Lord. This is another step of Christian godliness. Look in the verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Now, that's telling us, leave your future with the Lord. Your cares, your burdens. Now, I know myself, at times when you're young, going through school, all the rest of it, you don't know what's round the corner. But the Lord does. So commit thy way unto the Lord. Then look at the verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now it's not always easy to rest, is it? We like to worry about things and stress about things and overthink things. But it just says rest. Rest in the Lord. God answers prayer. Wait patiently for Him. It's a wonderful thing. Look at the verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, friend, there's some people that say, well, I lose my temper, yes, but it's righteous anger. The Lord had righteous anger. Well, friend, yes, the Lord had righteous anger, but the Lord was impeccable. And the Lord was sinless. And I can tell you this, I'm not going to say it's impossible, but I'd say the majority of times that we lose our temper and we're angry, we sin. That's why the Lord says here, cease from anger. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. But we keep going. The verse 27. Depart from evil and do good. Leave sin alone, friend. Leave sin alone. Walk in the ways of godliness. Depart from evil. Do good. The verse 34, the eighth step. Wait on the Lord and keep His way. You know, friend, God's timing is not always our timing. We ought to thank Him for that. But His timing is perfect. And then the verse 37, the last step to Christian godliness. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright. You know, friend, I'd always encourage you in this, those of you going through the school, have a godly role model. Have a godly role model. There's nothing wrong to looking back, even through history, or those that you know who love the Lord or walk in with the Lord, to have a godly role model. But not only behold the upright, but look at the first part of that verse, verse 37. Mark the perfect man. You know who is the perfect man? The greatest role model of them all? Christ. Keep your eye upon Christ. Don't let your eye wander from Him. Always have Him in the forefront. So parents, teachers, school, Sunday school workers, we're exalted here. Train up a child in the way he should go. But let me say this to the young people. Make sure you're willing to be taught. Make sure you're willing to be taught. Have a teachable spirit. Which way ought a child to go then? In the ways of salvation, godliness and holiness. So the teaching of the child and the truth for the child. But then thirdly and lastly, I'd like you to see, please, the tenacity in the child. The tenacity in the child. Look at the verse 6 of Proverbs 22 with me again. We read there in our text, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The tenacity in the child. Now, tenacity simply means being able to grip something firmly. Being very determined, or even it refers to persistence. And it says there, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The tenacity in the child. Now, surely we see here the importance of a Christian education. Because what happens in the life of a child? What a child learns and what a child memorizes and what a child gains in knowledge will stay with them for the rest of their lives. It will stay with them till the day they die. So teachers, parents, let me exhort you in this. The young people and children that you're responsible for are going to be affected for the rest of their lives by what you teach them. And young people, I'd urge you that in this, use these early years to learn that which will profit you for when you're old. Look what it says again. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. However, before I close, let me say this. Our text here implies that there will be those that will try and get you to depart from the ways of godliness here. By the very fact that it says, he will not depart from it, it means that you've got to have that tenacity because there will be those that will try and drag you from the correct path. You know, friend, young people, there will be those that will try and get you to forsake your God, forsake Scripture, forsake truth, and run after every idol and every sin that this world can ever imagine. There will be those that will try and do that. But don't just listen to the words of this preacher. Look at the words of Scripture. I'm sure you know them, but Galatians 5 and the verse 1. Galatians 5 and the verse 1. We see an exhortation here. It says there, Galatians 5 verse 1. Stand fast, therefore. Young person, older person, doesn't matter who you are, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But keep going over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses 10 and 11. We see Paul's final exhortation to the Ephesians here. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse 10 we read, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So as I close, let me say this, young people. Stay close to the Lord. And if you're not saved tonight, if you're not right with the Lord, then I'd ask you, will you obey the command of Scripture found in Acts chapter 16 and the verse 31? You're not saved yet? It says there, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Simply believe. Repent and believe the gospel, friend, but teachers, let me encourage you in this. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. May the Lord bless his word to each of our hearts for his own name's sake.
Amen.